This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 341, Star Trek Beyond from 2016. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, before we introduce our guest, I mean, we made it to the final Star Trek movie. And today we're going to finally, do we hoist up the flag?
Yes.
With the, what is it, Planet of the Apes? Does it go up there with Caesar? So in a trilogy franchise, can Beyond put it in the map?
Wouldn't it be funny if it does? Because just like that franchise, that is a reboot franchise. And this is a reboot franchise. So, you know, there was like a bunch of Planet of the Apes movies, 60s and 70s. Yep. There was Star Trek movies, 70s, 80s, 90s. But these are the reboot trilogies. Are these... Will it go up? I don't know. The Mount Rushmore, right? What was it? We said we got to blow up a dynamite of Chris Pine's giant head next to Caesar. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going
to
find out. All right, Nate, introduce our special guest.
Well, you know, he'll get a shorter introduction this time because he's been on the show before. He's a returning guest. He reviewed Ninja Turtles with us and then a classic, Flyboys. you know, he was here for those episodes. Nick, say hello to everybody. Let them know where they could find you.
What's going on? This is Nick of Movie AV Impulse, and you can find me on YouTube simply at Movie AV Impulse, and then all the social medias are right on that page, so y'all can find me.
All right,
there you go. Go check out his videos. He does reviews. He does his most recent video was kind of giving a glimpse into the equipment he uses. So he does a lot of different stuff, and he's a fan of our podcast. And he always would tell us, "Hey, I listened to it. It was great." So we're like, "You got to come on!" And here he is for the second time. Yes.
Love it.
All right, so here we go, because I know you guys want to get into it. I want to get into it, because it's time to see if we throw the hoist of flag. It is time to figure it out. All right, let's start off financially, right? Because at the end of everything, right, three-film movie, right, we want to know, did it surpass the other two in terms of financially? Is it even? Or did it make less? Well, Star Trek Beyond came at a budget of $185 million to make, which was, I think it was $5 million less from Into Darkness. Into Darkness was $190. So they said, we're giving you $185. Now, this one had a lot of production issues during the making of, but it did not disappoint because it came in at $343 million. Now, I know a lot of people going, what are you talking about? But technically, it's kind of a semi-successful third movie.
It didn't make as much as Into Darkness. That was like crazy high. Wasn't it like 700 and 800 something? 800 and something.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. I think it's the reason we haven't gotten a fourth one. I mean, I know they've talked about it. There's been like, they've been working on scripts. Like six different directors have signed on to make it. Paramount's announced it. Like, but if this would have made $700 million, part four would have came out 4-5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it wouldn't have been. So it wasn't a all-out flop, I'm assuming. And I think it did well also on video because they did announce a fourth. They wouldn't have if it didn't make some money, but a little disappointing box office wise.
Yeah, it is. Nick, what do you think?
I mean, personally, I like Into Darkness a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it with all the storyline and everything, but I feel like it didn't really make the money it should have, especially at that time when 3D was like a big hype. And I know that movie did come out on 3D because I own the Blu-ray of the 3D. So I thought that it would do a little bit better as far as numbers wise. But, you know, and then that guy, I forgot his name, passed away. And that was like a tragedy, too. Yes, there you go. From Odd Thomas. Yeah, that was a tragedy.
Yeah, that was a big tragedy. And also now if they go into a fourth one, it's going to demand a lot of money because they're all big stars in Hollywood.
Except Zachary Quinto.
Zoe. Yeah. I mean, she's on another planet right now with money, so they better be coughing up some major money.
They could give her the money Zachary Quinto's getting on the last
game. Zachary Quinto's getting American Horror Story money. They're not giving him as much. But in terms of, the only thing I remember listening to and reading was that the holdback was Chris Pine is because he is Captain Kirk. I think he demanded way more money. And that was
you remember the initial story right after was that they were going to bring back Chris Hemsworth. It was going to be some sort of time travel thing. And Hemsworth and Pine were both going to be in it. And he was going to like interact with his dad and all this kind of stuff. Because at that point now, Hemsworth was Thor. He's a box office draw.
Yeah.
Pine, this is the fourth one. And then that storyline, they cost too much to have both. So then they both dropped out. And then Tarantino wanted to make it. Remember? Yeah. He was like, I have an idea for a fourth movie. They hired a writer's room. They did all stuff. And then he said, I don't want to make it anymore. So it's just been like a revolving door of stuff. And then the most recent thing I read was that Paramount said that everyone's coming back, except obviously Anton Yelchin. Everyone's coming back. And then all the actors said, we didn't sign on. We haven't signed on yet. All of them. So I think
the problem is, I think it comes down to money. I think that's what it is. Sure. And at this point, and to be really honest with you, it's time to not reboot. It's just time to let it go. Like this.
No, they could make it, but you know what? Lower the budget a bit then on everything else. Make it a little small scale.
They can't lower that budget. And I'll explain why in a little bit, but they can't lower that budget. They gotta up the ante.
They shot themselves in the foot with the special effects in all three of the films. But anyway, let's get right into it.
Listen, these TV shows don't cost $200 million to make. They can do it.
Well, the TV shows don't have little superstars.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, you spend the money on the stars and you dial back in other areas. You can make Star Trek without it being the biggest, most expensive CGI fest.
We'll talk about it during the thing. Let's get to the critics and audience. What did they think of the third movie?
All right. The third movie, well, critically, better. So this actually is 87%, which is 3% higher than Into Darkness. Hmm. So critics liked this one better. Audiences, not as much. 80%, which is still good, 80%. Yeah. But it's 9% lower than Into Darkness. So critics, a little bit higher. Audiences, a little bit lower. But at the end of the day, this three trilogy movies, all 80% is the lowest on any of them. That's very, very good for a sci-fi action franchise.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see nothing wrong. This one is, out of all three, this one felt like the TV show. So if a lot of people didn't see like the old TV show stuff, they ain't not going to like this one. And you can see it went down to 80. It didn't go up to the where they wanted
it. It made less money.
So
I got to agree. Because it went down for me as well. Because Into Darkness was my favorite one out of the whole three, if I had to pick. I just thought it was a lot more.
That one is more action.
Yeah, that one's more just action oriented. Like,
I don't know. This one,
it's gonna be a really interesting discussion. Let's talk about it. Let's start it off. Nick, you're gonna start it all off with the lead characters, you know, the entire bridge. So let's start.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't break tradition at this point. You know what y'all gave him for the first two? I gotta give him a 5. I mean, come on. They're just all organized, they all work so well together, even when Zoe's character is, you know, mad at Spock. And Spock is mad at her. They're still there together. They don't let anything break them apart. And I just love that about them. And by the way, for anybody listening, I am not a Star Trek fan. So me criticizing these movies is just me. I grew up with them, with my dad watching everything. I mean, if it was Star Trek, it was on TV. And if it was Star Wars, it was on TV. But I just never really got into like Star Trek like that. So just watching these movies, I got to give them a 5. I love how everybody just, no matter what they're beefing about, they put all that aside for the Enterprise. And you can't take that 5 away.
All right. Nate, what you got?
We gave the, we both did, but I specifically gave the leads a 5 in both of the first ones. And in this one, they managed to do something very impressive, Alex. And Nick, let me tell you, that is that three movies in, they've continued to add layers to characters, which is what I look for. When we do these franchises, how many times, Alex, have we been like, the first movie, they're a 5, the second movie, they're a 5, the third movie, they're a 4, by the fourth movie, they're a 2. It's like, you know, like, they just, you know, there's nothing else there. There's nothing there. And this is the exact opposite. They have continued to add, let's start with Kirk really quick. He now is at a point where he's like, even I love the little thing at the beginning where he's talking like Stardate, whatever. He's like, I don't even know what we're doing out here anymore. Like, we're just flying around space. Yeah, I'm ready to retire. He's posting for a new job. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of done with it, even though he loves his crew. Spock is like, he's ready to quit. He's like, I want to go do, I got to do other stuff. You know, like, the other Spock is dead. I got to continue this and that. Then him and Uhura are in a fight. But no, not even. They were in a fight in the last movie. Now they've broken up. Even more, even worse. They're now broken up. And then they do a really smart thing where they separate all the characters and they put them in these little groups, which I love. because I love the pairings that they chose. Because Bones and Spock, they're not best friends the way Kirk and Spock are. And matter of fact, like, I love the scene where he starts laughing. Like, Bones makes a joke. He starts laughing. He's like, oh, man, you're going delusional or whatever. Yeah, you're delusional. Like, you're starting to go crazy. I love that. I love that they put Chekhov with Kirk. You know what I mean? Because they don't have a ton of interaction. I love the pairings that they did. And then as far as new characters, like Jayla, awesome character. Way better than the girl in that Dr. Marcus. Yeah. Who, by the way, what happened to her? She was part of the crew in the last movie. Gone. A cool new character on top of it. 5 out of 5. I think the one thing all these did amazing is the characters are fantastic.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to continue with the 5 train. I'm on the 5 train. Honestly, you're right. They continued everything. And what's cool is they started to explore, for those of you that are into the television show, they started to explore more of like the admiral rankings and everything, telling Kirk, you know what? You finished. You now could become an admiral if you want. And he's like, let me just think about it. And then that's when, you know, stuff is going to happen. And I liked it. I said, oh, that's really cool. Like, you never seen James, because Kurt always turns it down, even in the other timeline. He's been in that Enterprise for a long time until he's like mad old. They kind of ripped the chair away from him. And then so it was like, all right, cool. Then Spock, and I think what's so cool with the Spock situation is that's the time Leonard Nimoy died and they added it right into the movie. And it was just like, holy crap. Like, the way they did it was just so genius because they just give it to him. He's by himself. So he kind of saw himself die, which is kind of like a weird thing to say, but he saw himself and he felt bad and he wanted to bang to have babies. And Aurora was like, hell no, we're not having woken babies right now. And I kind of like that. I like Bones. Bones is like in the middle of it. We're not even knowing what the hell's going on with everybody. He's just like the medical doctor. He's best friends with Jim. He knows it's his birthday. Then all of a sudden he's doing an adventure with Spock, which is mad funny throughout. Even the ending when they were like, oh, I know who you could go with. And he was like, wait, what? No, I don't want to go. Next time I'm going to let you die. I thought that was mad funny. So yeah. And then the saddest part about the whole thing is knowing, watching this movie, that the actor that played Chekhov died. Yeah. So at the end when they're all toasting each other, it's like mad sad because it's like the last time they all got together during
they gave him the little credit. They dedicated the movie to him at the end,
So it's like, it's kind of the sad thing, but I think it's weird because Simon Pegg wrote this and you could tell Scotty had way more to do in this movie. Yeah, way more than...
But it was logical. At least it was logical.
It was.
Like what they used it
for. But it was... He had
engineering.
He had way more screen time than a lot of other characters, which is kind of weird in a sense. It's weird, but it's like, okay, he wrote it. So I guess he gave himself... But it felt... It's weird. He wrote it. He added himself with more minutes, but it felt right in terms of the way they edit everything out. It felt flushed for some damn reason, which I was like, okay, cool. But other than that, yeah, I gave it 5. I thought it was great. I thought it was really great. Okay. Main villain, my man, Idris Elba as Claw.
Idris Elba.
Not Claw.
Crawl.
Yeah. All right, Nate. Take it away.
Crawl. All right. So I like this villain. I love Idris Elba. Mm. Don't get me started on Idris Elba. One of my favorite actors. Love the dude. I actually just love him as a guy. Like, outside of movies, he's cool. I wish I could be friends with him. Mm. So good casting. For me, this one felt more like the Eric Bana villain from the first movie. Like, he's an alien. He's cool. Coming off of Into Darkness, where you had Khan, who Benedict Cumberbatch like just hits a grand slam home run, and Peter Weller as that psycho general guy. Like, the bar was high. This one is a little bit of a step down for me, but still a great villain. I love the motivation. He was a military guy, wanted to do war. Then they're like, no, you know what? We're going to have peace. And so they make him a captain. He's like, this sucks. I don't want to do this. This is trash. Then they crash land. He's like, they abandoned me out here. So he wants revenge. Now, what I don't like is like some of the writing for him is like, we found a technology that gives us long age. They don't really like go into it. He'd been alive for hundreds of years. And it not only did it turn him into an alien, but it gave him an accent for some reason. So there's some things like that that's like a little weird. But overall, cool villain. I love the swarm thing with all the ships, how they're like little bugs. I give him a 4. I don't think it's as good as the last movie, but I think he's cool.
Nick?
All right, I'm sorry, Nate. I got to go with a 5 on the villain because I felt like if you put what he was trying to do aside, he didn't care who he killed. Like, there was just, all his dudes were kamikazes. They were just going in, just hitting that ship. There was no way that he was going to stop from what he was doing. None of y'all was going to stop him. And I feel like, if, like I said, if you take what he was trying to do out of it, he really just didn't care about none of his crew in the long run. He just cared about him. And that's one thing I do agree with Nate, is they didn't explain anything on how he stayed alive for so long. Because I didn't even know that he was the bad guy until the very end, which, spoiler alert, we do that on this podcast. I didn't even realize it was him until all that. And then, you know, I was like, oh shit, how the hell he lived to be 100-something years old and nobody's, you know, even realizing this shit. But as far as ruthlessness, always willing to start to fight to get what he wants, and just sending in all those ships. And like I said, it was all just kamikazes. They was all just flying in, jumping into the ship and blowing shit up. So I had to give him 5. I like the villain in here. Yeah, I actually think he made most of the movie.
All right, so here we go. My man Ezra Alba as the bad guy. Nate, I'm with Nick on this one. This dude is a 5. And this is why. I know they didn't explain as much, but he is part Borg. And that's the problem. They use the Borg style of the next generation here. He's the technology. So when he grabbed the people and started sucking their energy, same thing that the Borg did. The only difference is that he didn't turn them into Borg. He just sucked their life force from them just to stay alive. So that means, and to tell, that pretty much tells you that he was going planet to planet, sucking everybody's life force until he was hunting down that little artifact that he found, you know, that Kurt had in the beginning of the movie, which I agree with Nate, with Nick on this, is he killed everybody. Yeah. There was no, he did more stuff that Cumberbatch didn't do. This dude straight up was like, grabbed one of their ensigns and was just like, oh, let's test out this biological crap in front of Uhura and just let it loose. Killed her. Bam. And he was going to kill the entire ship if it wasn't for the fact Kurt went away. So in terms of that, the motivation in terms of killing an entire planet, I was like, okay. My only nitpick was that at the end was kind of the weakest ending to kill the character. Whereas Khan, they beat his ass. They ran through a whole planet to get him and blah, 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 teleported and get his blood. This one, it was like Kurt just kicked him into a thing.
It was pretty easy to beat him.
Yeah, that was the only thing. But
it was just Kurt.
Yeah, but when he was in full strength, Kurt could not touch him. He choked his ass and he said Kurt, because he read he listened to all the transmissions and everything. So like when he choked him, my man had him right on the air and he was just like,
I mean, shouldn't he been more at full strength when he sucked everybody's life force and turn back more
human? Yeah, but he wasn't in full strength because he was already in, he was disguising himself, and Captain Kirk destroyed all the ships. That was his life energy, which they explained.
Sounds like a lot of gobbledygook that they needed to explain.
But
better.
They did.
That's my whole
but that's what, they did. Spock explained it. Those ships was connected to the queen, which
I know they had a hive. I know about the hive thing. No, but what I'm saying is if he's sucking the life force out of people.
Right.
At that point, that should be something that makes you more powerful, not weaker in any. He sucks them people at the end, Cut that part out. He's going on the ship to find those last two bodies. And they're all like, old. First of all, I thought one of them looked like Chekhov. I was like, no, he got my man. And it wasn't him. But I don't know. I just feel like, and you know what's the other thing? Like, at the end of the day, I didn't even remember this guy's name when I put the movie on, to be honest. And I saw this movie. He's not as memorable, like Crawl. Like, right. I did not remember that was his name or anything. So for me, you're right. He kills a lot of people, but actually all his henchmen kill a lot of people. So,
but are they really henchmen?
Yeah, they are. They're all other
people. Nah,
that, remember, his crew died, right? Like he explained.
Yeah.
But when some Spock, of them.
Remember, I think one of those other guys is still his guy.
I think so. But when Spock.
The one that fights the girl.
Right. When Spock was explaining how these people work, he was talking about how Ezra Alba was the link to all of them. And that's why he was stronger
the leader of the hive.
Right. So like when they blew up the entire ship, the dude was mad weak when he got
the little chamber he's getting sucked into.
Yeah, that thing. So when he got there, he was already turning back into almost semi-human. And then Kurt, you know, they started fighting. But it, when he was with, his entire crew.
A whack-ass human then.
Well, yeah, but when he was with his entire crew,
in front of war.
Oh, no, yeah, but when he was with his crew, none of them could have touched him. I mean, they,
that's not that gangster to me. See, that's what I'm saying. He's only
good. Well, they all have weaknesses,
though.
They all have weaknesses. You're not going to have one that's super power.
What I'm saying is, if you're a 5 out of 5 villain, but you're only strong when you got an army of people, whack. 4 I'm going to give him a 3. You're going to make me change my score. Let's move on.
This dude single-handedly dismantled the Enterprise. Dismantled.
He did not single-handedly
Yes, he did. Because he knew where to attack. Because he was a Starfleet. He knew how to attack it.
I know, but he didn't one guy do it. There was a. They had like 1,000 ships.
It doesn't matter, but he's the one who put the plan together. He was just like, cut the head off. And he destroyed. I mean, come on. This dude destroyed it. Come on. Khan did not do this at all. Come on.
I bet you in 5 years when I ask you their names, you'll remember Khan's and not his.
Well, Khan is a character from everywhere. I mean, Krall is a different character.
Hey, no excuses.
No, all right, we'll wait 5 years from now.
He'll only be known because of that one signature scene. That's it. That's the only reason why his name is known. Don't go there, okay? Five. It's a 5.
Oh, please.
It's a 5.
So you're telling me that, so Nick, what you're telling me then is in the history of Star Trek, Krall is now a better villain than Khan?
No. He's not a better villain than Khan, but I think there's a lot of like different, I don't know, to me it's like different species, different whatever, but Starfleet kind of made this guy, if you really think about it.
Yeah, exactly. But I love a good villain who comes back to get the people who created him.
Yeah, well, anyway, Claw, 2 5s, 1 4. Okay, action sequence, Nick. Yeah.
Come on, man, that's a 5. I mean, look, there was nothing but action in here. I think if you break it down, you're looking at maybe 18 minutes of like no action, like no, you know, just a storyline kind of trying to build up and show you things. But I mean, right off the bat, when Kurt is talking to the, you know, trying to give them that peace, I thought they were these huge, giant, like creatures, and they come down, they're like this big. He's getting attacked by all of them. Like, that was a cool scene. But then when they go and they take off, and then they go into that asteroid field, and they're trying to, and then all them ships come out and start banging into the Enterprise. I mean, there was way too much action in here for you not to give it a 5. I mean, that's just off the rip. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Especially when you saw them actually sticking into the ship and then opening up, and then you just get more guys coming out. So not only do you have to dodge the fact that you might die from some ship crashing into the side of your body, but now you got to worry about these dudes coming down and just shooting you because they came out blazing. They weren't waiting. They just came out. They were done. So I thought the action was a 5 all day.
No, oh, there you go. Nate, what you got?
Yeah. What did we give? I think we gave 5 to the both of them.
Yeah, we gave 5 across the board on all of them.
Okay. Well, you know what? We ain't hopping off that train either. Listen, first of all, I think Justin Lin was a great choice to direct this movie, especially at this time. He had done a few Fast and Furious movies, 4, 5, and 6, and the best one, which is Fast 5. So he knows how to shoot action. I have one minor complaint before I go into my praises. Some of the early scenes on the ship were too dark. I watched this in 4K and it looked great, but there's a few scenes and the way he shot it, a little shaky and dark, and I was like, a little shaky cam. But after they get off of that part, and I'm mostly talking about this fight with Spock when he's first getting into the thing, and he ends up like crashing down on the planet, that whole thing was a little whatever. Other than that, absolutely great. I love that there's some diversity here. First of all, we get like a martial arts fight, like for the first time, really. I mean, you had the sword fight thing in the first movie, but this one with the girl and that guy, Jayla and Sophia Boutella, she's a dancer, but you know, her martial arts are great. Love that. I love Chris Pine on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but when they can go back and use like our time technology and these futuristic, it was great. And he's just driving around spraying that crap that just like freezes everywhere, and he's all over the place. Great scene. The scene where they're falling, sliding down the thing, and they're just shooting at each other. Great. But absolutely love the part where they use the sabotage from the Beastie Boys. And as soon as the lyrics hit and all the ships just start exploding, I get hyped. I got hyped at the theater. I got hyped this time when I was watching it. I was like, yeah! I threw my remote at the TV nearly. So,
I forgot about that sabotage part, and I had the surround sound on, and when it came on, I was just like, yo! That's what I'm all about.
When they go, yeah. Whoa! hell, and everything just starts going.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, I want to rewind it. This is so good.
Yeah, it's a five. It's a five there. I mean, my favorite scene is when they're infiltrating the Enterprise.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just destroying, because all you see is just a big thing of cockroaches. You're like, what is this? And he's like, zoom in, and then he's just like, red alert, all toward, you know, all weapons, and they just cannot hit this thing, and they shoot torpedoes, and it goes right through them. I was like, what is going? And I don't remember this movie. Like, it's been a long time, but when it just, I was like, what? I was like, this is crazy. The action with Bones driving the thing, and Spock is navigating. He's like, please not try not to hit stuff, yeah. And he's hitting the buildings, and he's like, oops, sorry. Like, I thought that stuff was fun. I like the Jayla fight. I thought that was pretty fun too. I love even the scene. He's like, we have to jumpstart this thing, and Captain Kirk went, oh, jumpstart? And like, you knew they're gonna do something weird and wacky, and they went off a cliff to take off. I thought that scene was actually like, I wish that was a real ride, that you get onto the Franklin, and then you just get, you know, you go right into a thing. Like, that would have been fun. The ending, yeah, with Sabotage was like, I was like, holy crap. I mean, that would have been good, and Fight the Power with Public Enemy would have been cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. If we recycled that, that would have been good too.
Fight the Power is like bang 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 bang. That would have been so funny.
The Sabotage was a nice touch. I forgot about it until my subwoofer started. Especially because it was a callback to the first movie. Craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was the way they did it is like a full circle. That's why I like Captain Kirk saying, his reaction to it
was great.
Yeah, he was just like, great.
Ooh, I like this song.
He's like, great song.
It's Fox, is that classical music?
Yeah. No, that was Bones. And then Spock goes, I believe so. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I thought that whole sequence was good. And I like the sequence even going into the thing. They crashed through, and then it was like, meet them and it poked into the other one. I was like, it was kind of genius. I thought it worked very well. So five across the board here. Okay, storyline. Okay, here we go. Take it away, Nick. What you got for storyline?
Storyline. All right, so if I've never seen the other two and I just jumped into this one, this is how I'm kind of looking at it. For me, I felt no kind of, if anybody would have died on the Enterprise, there was no remorse. Like, I wouldn't have felt like grief or any like that, because I felt like they focused too much on what Krall was trying to do versus what the Enterprise was trying to protect. And I kind of looked at it like, I was not going to lie, if it wasn't for the action, storyline would have had me bored. So for me, I gave it a 3. I know I'll probably get a lot of criticism, but like I said, I am not a Star Trek fan. You know, I like these three movies, don't get me wrong. But if I jumped into this movie without seeing one or two, I wouldn't understand, like, why is this person mad at this person, or why is this person angry at this person? It just wouldn't have made sense to me. And I felt like they should have touched on it a little bit more with the Enterprise. They just kind of like jumped into what Krall was doing as a plan, and that was it. But if you know, watch the first two, it's easily, storyline's easily a 4 for me. But I got to give it a 3 because, like I said, when I go into these movies, I try to like forget what I seen and just dive in. And I just pretended like I didn't see one and two, and I was kind of lost in that aspect. So it's a 3 all day for me, but that's how I look at it.
All right. Nate, what you got? Storyline.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Now we're going to get angry emails from all the Trekkies. No, don't worry. You're protected, because last episode I said that I said that Star Trek 2009 was the best Star Trek movie ever. So
God.
If anything, they'll get mad at me. All right. You know what, Alex? You make a great point. I don't watch the show, okay? I don't watch, you know me. I don't watch any show, but I never watched, I haven't seen one full episode of the original Star Trek show. What I can say is I have seen all of the original movies, and this one feels most like those movies as far as the story is concerned. And I'm imagining those movies feel like the show. So I agree with your point. You know more because you do watch the show, or you're a fan of the show. This one feels more like a TV, like the start, what I would imagine the Star Trek TV show was. You know what I mean? Coming off of those Abrams movies that they feel a little bigger. This one felt a little smaller in story. I'm not complaining about it because I think it works. And I love I like the little pairing off of the characters, giving them all their little kind of side missions that they got to do to get back together. But yeah, overall, I gave it a 4 overall. I think it's very good. I don't think it's as like amazing as I still think 2009 is the best overall storyline out of all of them. But this is a very good Star Trek movie. And it reminds me of those those older ones. It feels more old school in that. I'm guessing Simon Pegg is probably a big fan of the show.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah. Well, I gave it a 4. I don't think it's a perfect film. I think it's a great film. In terms of people that enjoy Star Trek, original Star Trek, and even you can even throw in Next Generation because it felt like that too, like the crew bendering and everything. It has that storyline. Like, and I can see it from Nick's point of view. It does feel like that. If you're not a Star Trek fan, these movies are going to be boring. It's going to be like, oh man, this is boring. But if you're a fan of the show, you're going to love it because you got the exploration. He's going to aid somebody. And then that person is like, boom, that's the villain, right? Like, and it would have been dope if it was a Klingon because that's what Klingon would have did, right? Like, you were like, holy shit, it's a Klingon ship. But they didn't. And I'm like, damn it. With this crew, I wanted to see a Klingon versus this type of crew because I think it would have been so dope. One thing I do like about this movie is how Chris Pine, I don't know what people are going to say. They're going to think I'm crazy. Chris Pine looked like William Shatner. I don't know why, but there's certain scenes that he looked like he did certain like look to Spock and he looked exactly like William Shatner's younger, like season one of him. I guess it's the part in hairdo, like because he's older.
And it was a little darker.
Yeah, it was darker. Right? Yeah. So I was like, damn, they gave him like the captain. And you know what? It could also feel too is the suit that they had. It wasn't like the superhero like looking shirts that they had for the first two movies. This one felt kind of a real Star Trek like shirt, but like super like pressed on. Ironed, which is like they're like it's like military.
Yeah, the other ones have that spandex look.
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, like this one felt like the TV show. Like they were wearing their colors in their iron-on looking suits, and I loved it. And it was pretty cool because the suit that they were wearing when they got off the ship, that it was blue with the yellow stripe here. Here you go. I'm gonna geek out again. Those are the flight suits from Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise. With Jonathan Archer. He was like the first guy to do the first flying for Star Trek. Like, so that was their flight suits. So if you look that show up, they have those flight suits with the colors on the thing. So it's kind of weird that they did it here. I guess it was like an Easter egg for fans that are into the show. But man, I'll tell you the storyline. I thought it was very well put together. I thought it was really good. Certain things I was just like, eh. But I mean, the villain was good. It was like a TV show villain, but way better. I mean, more ruthless. But I loved it though. He killed people, sucked their life force. I mean, those ships destroyed everywhere. Loved it. I mean, look, if there's villains that are sucking all over the place, then I'm all right with it. You know, I keep sucking. I'm all right with it. If the movie's good because you're sucking, let's go with it. I'm okay with it. So look, with that said, I give it a 4, man. I think this was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good for a third movie. It's kind of rare that you get a super duper dope villain in a third movie besides Die Hard with a Vengeance.
He's great. But also that was easy because they just made it the brother of the villain from the first movie. So that was like,
yeah.
Here though, to get a 4 on story, even for us on a third movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
Besides freaking War for the Planet of the Apes. You're right. I mean, this is shaping up for very good third movie.
It could be. All right. Overall, Nate, take it away. Overall, what are you going to close it out with?
I think this movie's really, really good. I think this is a really, really good movie. I do think it leans more action than story as compared to the first two. And even though we gave the action in the first two a 5, it's mostly for execution. Whereas here, it's execution, but there's just a lot. Like Nick made a very good point. There's about, it feels like 20 minutes of talking, and the 2 hours and 10 minutes is action. Oh, like the rest of it's action. So I do agree. However, this is an action podcast, so that works for us. I mean, I love action, so I was cool with it. I think it's a very good movie. I think it's a little bittersweet because, like, you know, the whole thing with Anton Yelchin, I liked him. I like him in a lot of other movies more than Star Trek, where he gets a bigger role, but it's kind of bittersweet seeing him, like you said, at the end when they're at the party and everything. That kind of sucks. I love the scene also early where Spock finds the other Spock's little thing and it has the cast from the original
one.
The picture with all the original people. Like, that was pretty cool. A lot of cool nods to the previous movies. I actually hate the opening scene of this movie. This is the only thing I hate about it.
Really?
That was funny. I don't like those little goblin thing. Yeah, it's stupid. I like the opening of the last movie.
Yeah.
So to each their own. Yeah. I like these little goobers. And then they're, you know, whatever. The first, and I get it. It's just there for a plot. I don't like MacGuffin. We've talked about this, Alex. I don't like MacGuffin movies. There's an item. You gotta get this item. And they have the, you know, like, okay, whatever. So other than that, though, a great movie, great characters, fun time. I give it a 4. I think it's very good.
All right, Nick. What are you closing out with? Your overall.
So overall, I have to give it a 4. I've a lot of things I agree with Nate, except for the opening. I love the opening. I thought that was, I mean, just the surround sound when you're hearing that voice in the back speakers, and then you just realize it's this little tiny, you know, these little tiny creatures jumping all over him and he's trying to get out. I thought that was hilarious. And they're chasing him on the ship. But as far as like an action movie, this is grab some popcorn, pretzels, cheese dip, whatever you got to grab, and a soda, and just enjoy yourself. Me, like I said, not being fan of Star Trek, not that I wouldn't watch them, just I grew up just looking at it on TV all the damn time, that it never really drawn my attention. So, you know, I would watch this at any given time if I just wanted some action, thoughtless action. And that's just kind of the way I look at this one. Into Darkness was totally different for me. I actually really love that one. But this one, you just 4 overall, throw it in, popcorn, soda, Netflix, and chill. You know, especially in the 3D, I really miss it because I have the 3D Blu-ray and I really miss watching that movie in 3D. You know, so that's another thing. The 3D on that movie was so awesome with all the ships. I mean, the ships would fly right by your face and you just got everything. So even watching it now, it wasn't the same thrill as it was in 3D, but the action is there. So let's go with that overall 4.
Have you seen the original movies? The older movies?
When I was a kid. Dude, my dad recorded. I mean, if you touched that VCR when you got home and my dad realized you touched that VCR, that was it. He was getting your ass whooped because he recorded every single movie, anything to do with Star Trek. He was on it. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why I just never really got into it, because I was just like, man, this is so boring to me.
You always got slapped. Nick always got slapped.
Well, you know, that's why I hate coffee. Man, that's why I hate coffee. My dad drinks it too much. Growing up, I was like, I am sick of the smell of coffee, and I don't drink coffee now. So relatable.
You know what? That's kind of interesting with you guys saying that, because that's kind of weird. Because like for me, my dad was into boxing, like, and I hate boxing and UFC and all that shit. Like, no, and it's crazy. Weird? Like you said, yeah, because you said your dad watches Star Trek, you're not into it and stuff. Nate's dad drinks coffee, he doesn't like that. My dad loves boxing, and I hate it. Out of the three brothers, my other two, they love that shit. Me, I'm like, ah, fuck that. But I love my baseball. Like, that's what me and my dad get together.
Which is crazy, because it's violence, and you're an action guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
how many innings are you saying you're not trying to fall asleep?
No, it's so like, it's very weird that you said that, but it's like, thinking about it, it's kind of weird. Like,
there's always one thing, because me, yeah. Like, I got a lot of stuff I do like from it, but there's always one thing that's like, they like it too much, that now I don't
like
it.
That's crazy. When I get older. That's so nuts. Like, not thinking about it with us three. That's crazy. That's really nuts. All right, look, overall, I'm going to say it for all my Trekkies out there. I'm giving this a 5. For all the Star Trek fans out there, if you're a diehard Star Trek fan, this blends the line of story and action. If you're into that stuff, for me, I looked at the storyline as a TV show. I saw it, and then the action kicked in. I loved it because it's best of both worlds for me. The cast is amazing still. The special effects still look like the J.J. Abrams effects. The only thing they changed, and I freaking loved it, was the warp. When it went and bended, it went, and then you saw it like gliding through all that shit. I loved it. I don't know what the hell it was. I was like, what did they do different here? It was, I guess, his version of warp, where J.J. Abrams is still dope, his version of warp, but I kind of liked it. They both blended both together. So I liked it. The only thing, if we had nitpicks, I still did not like the bridge. It still looked like the Apple store. Like, it looked too new for me. I'm like, what? And the thing is, like, even my wife said it at the end. She goes, how many ships did Chris Pine break? I was like, this dude broke so many freaking, yeah, he broke.
Did you like the bridge on the old ship, the one that they found?
Yes, because it was vintage. And it was green and black, because like I like the green. Like, it reminds me of Aliens with the green text. It's like... So yeah. I don't know. I like the old vintage stuff. Like, the newer tech, I'm like, they still gave it the new Apple, like, high-tech looking clean. I don't like the clean looks. But yeah, anyway, other than that, I gave it a 5. Okay. Total points, Nick.
So my overall score is 22. Again, just a great action movie. And even not being a Star Trek fan, I recommend people to watch it all the time if they ask me, because I, like you, Alex, I met a lot of Star Trek fans and were like, I hate J.J. Abrams for what he did to Star Trek. And I'm like, I love that shit. But I'd be quiet because I'm like, I don't want to be the guy getting yelled at, because that's how I feel about like Ninja Turtles. When somebody tells me, oh, Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles is better, I look at them like they got four heads. And, you know, so I'm just like, yo, get out of here, son. You know, so just as an overall, like, fun movie, man, you can't deny this one. You're right. The colors on my Sony TV, when they were warping and the way it was looking, I was like, oh, and like, it was a whole different level. The last time I seen this movie was on a 1080p LG TV and it was a 3D TV. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and if you guys know with 3D, it splits it. So I was really watching it at like 540, 560. So that was like the last time. So when I seen all them colors go, I was like, oh shit, this is cool. But yeah, it's all around fun, man. Just gotta watch it.
All right, Nate, what you got? Total points.
Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you for writing down your total points. It's much appreciated from management. You know? Yeah, and I don't care if the Trekkies come after me for the J.J. Abrams thing. That movie's still better than the old ones. I don't care. 22 as well. I have a 22 out of a 25. Enjoy this movie. Like the callbacks. Oh, by the way, cool Easter egg, Trekkies, the little green hand reference. Like, what the heck is that? When Scotty makes a joke about what happened to the ship, he's like, it might have been taken out from a green hand from space. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a reference. So I Googled it.
It's a TV episode, right? Where he grabs the ship.
It was the second episode of the second season of the original Star Trek that a big giant green hand of Apollo or something. And then in the end credits of this movie, about halfway through, you see the green hand in this. So it was a nice little, they put a little Easter egg in there. That was pretty cool. 22. Enjoy it.
Yeah, look, I'm going to keep it live for our Trekkies. 24 out of a 25. Yee! Now, we are going to stamp it. The best trilogy franchise is going up there with the Planet of the Apes franchise trilogy. It is now getting hoisted on the Mount Rushmore of franchises trilogy. I got to say, dude.
Here at the AMG podcast, it's now the second member, because we've only two good trilogies so far.
Yeah, no. And honestly, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I finished this. I wanted to go back and watch the first one.
I did too.
And continue watching them again. Yeah, I wanted to go back and see it. And one thing, Nick, I got to say is once you go OLED watching these damn movies with the colors popping, you never want to go
back. Listen, I totally get it, but my X90L served just, it just must be the Sony magic. I don't know what it is, because I don't even have that live color shit on, but man, when them colors are waving, I was like, damn, that was a big difference from that 1080p.
I think we actually have three trilogies up there, because we just did the original Star Wars trilogies, and those were also...
Oh, the Star Wars trilogy. Yeah,
that was a bang.
So right the now, original was a bang. OG trilogy, the Planet of the Apes, and the Star Trek reboot on the Mount Rushmore. Now, course, just so you guys listening at home, the track, Mount Rushmore only has four slots. Ooh. So let me tell you some trilogies we got coming up that we have not done yet. Lord of the Rings.
Oh, God. Okay. Thank you guys for not having me on the show for Lord of the Rings.
We got Lord of the Rings coming up. I'm just trying to think iconic. We have the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy that we have not done. Bad Boys trilogy.
Bad Boys.
What else do we got? Oh, the Triple X trilogy. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I'll be on the show for that.
We got the Man with No Name trilogy coming up in the future.
Clint Eastwood.
So, I mean, yeah, we got some trilogies that we've not covered yet. But right now, I think those are the
okay. Movies. So, Nate, we'll do this. At the end of this year, we will hoist the final franchise on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, we pretty much will, because we're doing a lot of these this year.
So we'll hoist the final franchise, and then we'll put it up and see if you guys agree.
You got to make a graphic of these heads of one of the actors in the rocks.
I'll put the Kurt Caesar's face.
Caesar, you're going to be the only monkey up there.
And Yoda's face.
You got to put Kurt. I know everybody loves Spock, but you got to put Kirk up there.
As of right now, it will be Kirk, Yoda, and Caesar. Yes.
All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast?
All right, so next episode, we got a movie now. I'm excited to talk about it, because it's we're going to have a special guest for this movie as well, and I know he's a big fan of this film, so we're going to be doing a little continuing with Jean-Claude Van Damme month. We're doing a little Bloodsport, Frank Dukes. We're going to be doing some Bloodsport, and then guess what, Alex? we start a new trilogy because we're done with this one. So next up is a big one. Yeah. Speaking of many hours, I hope you're ready because we are doing the Lord of the Rings trilogy coming up next. Yeah. So we will do
good luck, Alex.
Fellowship of the Ring. a regular movie's 4 hours for Alex. Yeah. So the extended version will be 8 hours.
Oh, my God. I can't. Yeah. Bloodsport
was the extended cut.
You watched a 2.5 hour cut of Bloodsport.
Yeah, I did.
So anyway, Bloodsport coming up next, and then Lord of the Rings starting next week will be our new franchise. When we have a special guest, but I'll announce him next episode.
All right, cool. Nick, thank you so much for sitting down on this episode. Let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on YouTube, on Movie AV Impulse, and to make it easy, all the links will be right in there. Much love to you guys. Thank you very much for having me on the show again. Have a ton of fun, and I don't know how anybody else does it, but for this podcast, I let a couple episodes build up, and I just binge listen because I can't binge watch. So I binge listen. And it's just a great time every time. So y'all keep up the good work, man.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews every other Monday when we're not live on that Sunday. Nate is live on Nateflix Reviews with his friends from his former podcast meets. They get together that Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Action Movie Guys, we're on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. We have an official website, www.geeksandflicks.com, where you can listen to all the podcasts there. And now Action Movie Guys podcast is on YouTube Music, so you can listen to all episodes on YouTube Music. If you guys are subscribed to YouTube Music, we are there now, all 340 episodes plus. We are there, of course, and then you can listen to it right off the website too, the actual youtube.com/@actionmovieguys. We have an actual YouTube channel. You guys can listen to it there, so you have your choices there for you YouTubers. We might bring some videos there. I'm deciding on trying to figure out what to do for the Action Movie Guys podcast, but we might have some exclusive content for that channel specifically. But other than that, I'm your host, Ash Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix.
And again, thank you, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.